Accession number 31464, Mr. Dennis Goodrich, Reel 5. Now, before we go on, you want to drop in, because we've had over a couple of days to think about it. You've remembered that you were a bit iller than you thought at
Java.
Yes,
I was, yes.
Tell me about what you got at Java.
Malaria and beriberi.
Tell us about the symptoms. How did you feel with it?
Well, malaria is it's a very high fever and very weak. You can't do any work. You can't do anything at all properly. But we were forced to work even with malaria, so it made no difference. But beriberi is a completely different disease. It's a vitamin deficiency causes it. And when you put, if you put your fingers on your arm, it'll leave an indentation in it. Wherever you put it on your skin, it'll leave an indentation. Normally, it's not curable, but we had no medicine, but it seemed to go away on its own, so that's not too bad, eventually. It took a couple of months to go. Malaria, I had a recurrence of 1946, when I came home, I had a recurrence of malaria.
So, well, we'll come back to after the war, but... Now, the other thing was, we didn't quite have the name of the island. It was Camp Fukuoka,
number two, yes.
Fukuoka, and that's the name of the island.
That's the name of the island, yes.
And you were working in the shipyard at Kawanami.
Yes, right.
Was that on the actual island as well?
Yes, that was on the island. That was all that was on the island, just a shipyard.
And this camp.
Yeah, and the camp, that's all.
Now, tell us about the work you did in the dockyard, because we haven't really discussed that much.
Well, it was supposed to be helping to build ships, but the Air Force people took no part in that. We did the cleaning up and sort of. But there were Indonesians in the camp, and they worked helping to do drilling and caulking and all that sort of stuff when on shipboard. And they worked with the Japanese all the time. Although they were prisoners, they worked with the Japanese. And for that, they got extra food.
But you didn't. No. Tell us about the cleaning duties. That's all you were doing?
No, mainly cleaning, sweeping up, cleaning, things like that. Nothing technical at all, because we all refused.
And you were allowed to do that?
Oh, well, yes. I would point out that with us at the time, the Navy were the crew of the HMS Exeter, and the HMS Encounter, who were sunk in the Straits of Malaya, and they were with us. They were the only English people in the camp, were the Navy and the Air Force people.
How did you get on with the Naval?
Very good. We were great friends.
Were you in the same... Were you mixed together?
Oh, yes, all mixed together.
Now, what about the latrines and things at this camp, number two camp?
Hopeless.
It's bad.
Terrible. Hopeless. Just no running water, no cleanliness at all. At the end of the day, somebody was detailed to try and clean them all out, but you couldn't do very much, you know.
And what about punishment? I'm looking at your notes again. There's a mention of some quite harsh punishment.
Oh, yes, there was.
Do you remember the punishments?
I had none, but there were people. There was, especially amongst the Navy folks, who were a little bit rebellious, and they got punished quite hard.
In what way?
Well, they were. One of their favourite things was to do press ups and make them do press ups for hours on end before they couldn't stand up and they couldn't use their legs.
Anything else?
No. Another thing I would point out too, that in the shipyard they use welding, electric welding, and that gives a big flash to your eye. If you haven't got goggles on, then you look at that and you go blind for 2 or 3 days. And that was one of the things, lots of us had blindness. I had one that lasted me a week.
I thought you were just cleaning them.
No, but while you're walking past where they're working, you see.
Now, you've got a little bit of an account in your thing of the daily routine. Do you remember that still? This bit here, I don't know if you can see it.
Yeah.
Can you talk us through the daily routine in the camp? What would happen in a daily routine?
Well, 5 o'clock, what they were rallying, they just came and got us up. The guards here got us up. Roll call.
How was that done?
They fall in outside, it wasn't a parade ground, but just outside the huts, and they would come and count you. And count you in Japanese. You had to learn how to speak Japanese before. They wouldn't take it in English. You had to count it in Japanese. Yes, you had breakfast, which was a bowl of rice. It wasn't actually rice, it was millet really, but that's all you got for breakfast. Then you went outside again to parade, and they were told you where you were going to work that day, which was always in the shipyard.
So what time would you start work about?
Oh, about 7:30, something like that.
In the morning?
Yes, in the morning. And that go right through till the evening. At 6 o'clock they would pack you up and march. It was about a quarter of a mile to the camp from the ship as you march you back to the camp, and that's where they left you. And then they served you what they likely lovely called dinner, which was another bowl of rice. And then it was lights out.
Straight to, I mean, was there nothing else to the day then?
No, that's all. Does it mention about...
Lights out at 8:30. Yeah.
Does it mention anything about smoking in there?
It says bugle to stop smoking at 7:45.
Yeah, they did issue some people with three cigarettes a week, because and some of the people were so keen on smoking that they would swap their food for cigarettes, which I thought was terrible.
Did you smoke?
No.
Not at all?
I did smoke before that, but I didn't smoke then.
I gave up in the camp,
yes, completely.
Was there any camp money or anything that you were able to buy anything with?
No, not then, but later on there was some money. I think I've got some examples of the money here that they issued us here.
So how long was it before that was issued?
Oh, about a year, I think.
So quite a long while.
A lot of one. We couldn't go out to use it anyway. But they, according to the Geneva Convention, they were supposed to pay you. So they kept the rules. They said.
What happened? What do you remember about that first year then?
Oh, it was just that it was so much hard work, and I was so hungry. Things like, very cold. When we got there, extremely cold. No heating, nothing. No hot water, no nothing. No showers, and I was. Most of the time we thought about food, to be perfectly honest, because we were so hungry, that's all we could think about.
Well, did your health get worse then?
Yes, it gradually deteriorated.
How could you tell? Well,
by loss of weight mainly, and how you felt. Although you were still working hard, you were lost, and you hadn't enough food, you started losing weight rapidly. And that really upset you, know.
You were suffering from malnutrition then?
Oh yes, definitely malnutrition, yes, yeah.
And you mentioned the Red Cross. Now, I'm not sure the Red Cross was before or then, because it says here, you got in early 43, you got some Red Cross parcels, one between 12. Was that the one you mentioned earlier?
That's the first one. The first thing I saw of a Red Cross parcel, and that was one between 12, so there were only 12 articles in the box, and we had to draw lots for the one. And guess what I drew? A tin of creamed rice after me.
The prisoners of the Germans were able to organise sort of entertainments and things. Was that possible at all?
Nothing whatever. There was one thing I had to mention about that too. While we were there, they said there was a Red Cross party arriving to help us. Oh, well, good, this is going to help. When they came, they were Irish, an Irish Red Cross, and they didn't even want to talk to us, they didn't want to know us, they completely ignored us, just talked to the Japanese. And they wouldn't even listen to our commander at all, didn't want to know.
This is Irish as in Republic of Ireland.
Irish Red Cross. They weren't interested in us at all. Didn't want to be. That's the only outsiders I saw in the whole time.
And were the guards were the Japanese Navy, were they?
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
How did they treat you overall, do you think?
They were the Japanese Navy were very brutal, but they were much worse than the Army. You could almost make friends with an Army man, but not with a Navy man.
Why were they so much worse, do you think?
Because they considered them the elite in Japan. They did then. They were the people that counted. They were called themselves the Kaigun. That was the name of it. And they treated their own workers just as badly. The Japanese workers were treated terribly by them.
In what way? Tell us about that.
Well, they would beat up as they walked past. They didn't like the look of them. They'd knock them to the ground and beat them up, sort of, because they didn't like them. They thought they were superior to the ordinary working people.
So these were Japanese civilians?
Yes. Oh, yes, they treated just as badly.
And how did you get on? Did you mix with the Japanese civilians, or were you
kept apart? Oh, yes, actually, I had to, yes, because some of them were... Well, one old chap, he must have been about 60, and he quite friendly. He could speak a little English, and he wanted to be friendly. And he, after the bomb, I went down to see if I could find him, but I couldn't find him anywhere. So I imagined he was killed by the bomb blast.
They weren't living on the island. Where were
they? No, they were living in Nagasaki.
In the mainland?
Yeah, they had a ferry across, a little boat that took them across them.
Did you ever get across? I mean, were you ever taken from the island across?
Not during, but I did after the bomb dropped. And
but not before?
No.
Now, were there many fatalities in the camp? I mean, were people dying? Tell me about that a bit.
Oh, quite a lot. I think I can remember, I'd say about 50 or so people that I knew that died over this period of time.
And what did they die of?
Mostly malnutrition, dysentery, malnutrition, and no medical help at all. No medicine, no nothing.
And did you get dysentery again? Or what were you suffering from? Or was it just malnutrition?
Just malnutrition, mainly.
So you didn't get dysentery?
I didn't get any more dysentery. No.
Why do you think you managed to survive? Is there any? Do you think of anything?
Not really, no. I will say that if being a single person made a lot of it, if you were married, the married people couldn't cope with it because they were thinking about their wives and family at home more. I couldn't have that, only my own family. That didn't bother me that much. Not if you like, if you were married. That was a lot of things, a lot to do with it. People weren't so good.
What about the water supply? I should have asked before. Did you have I know you didn't have any running water, but did you get clean water?
Well, we supposed it was clean. We were allowed about a pint or so a day, and that was to drink because you had no hot water, no hot meals, no hot food at all. So you had a bit of water, that's all. And you couldn't ask for more because they wouldn't give it to you.
So that must have made you pretty thirsty then.
It was very. But there again, if you're not eating very much, you don't get that thirsty.
And so was there anything that doesn't sound like, it sounds like a completely miserable existence.
It was completely and utterly.
Was there any lighter side of it? I mean, I'm not...
Well,
you know,
amongst ourselves, yes. We still had a sense of humour.
Well, tell me about sense. Was it important to you? What sort of humour, you know?
Well, they would make remarks about nips and japs and all sorts of... It was friendly enough. The Navy blokes were very good. They had, I think, because of the way they lived on ships, they mixed more with us because we were used to the open air. They were used to being aboard a ship cooped up all the time, and that helped them quite a lot, I think.
So basically just laughing at the situation we're in, Japanese.
That's right.
So
as much as without letting them see you laugh.
And no kickabouts or anything like that.
Oh no, there was nowhere. They had no playground, no nothing at all, no, nothing.
Now, so from 1944, there start to be air raids. Now,
that's right. Well,
tell us about the air raids before the atomic bomb. I mean,
well, American Air Force came over and did a lot of raiding. We could hear them bombing quite near us.
And what were they bombing? Nagasaki
and the surrounding areas, because that area is a shipyard area, so they were attacking all the shipyards they could.
And did they attack your shipyard?
Yes.
And what damage did they?
Quite a lot of damage, actually, to the main. But and one time they nearly destroyed a ship.
Tell us about that.
They hit the ship and it knocked a hole in the side. And the thing about them, the Japanese, they didn't have a slipway where they could run the ships into the water. They were built in dry dock. So they built the ship, then flooded it. And if there's a hole in it, it wouldn't flow. Now, I'll tell you the story of what happened. In Japan, the workers have a set of signs which they put on the side of the ship, and it says, it might in Japanese be drill here or weld here. So some of the people and the Navy that's copied signs on the side of the ship, drill here, which the Japanese came along and did. And what happened? When they filled it up, the ship sunk.
Is that actually true?
Actually happened. And afterwards, the camp interpreter, who wasn't a bad bloke, he could speak English, he came, I'm going to show you what happened, but you mustn't laugh. Don't let them see you laugh, whatever you do. And don't tell them I told you. When we had the ships on the bottom because they couldn't float, because they got holes in them.
And that no one had spotted it?
They didn't realise what was happening. And they blamed the Japanese for it. Anyway, who made the signs? The Japanese.
And who amongst you had copied them?
Well, the two or three of the Navy chaps have worked it all out, how to do it, and that, of course, they had knew where to make the hole, because they knew about ships, so they knew where to make the signs. So.
Anything else about the dockyards or the effects of the raids? The first raids, I mean.
Well, the Japanese didn't like it. They said it wasn't right for them to bomb. We shouldn't be bombed because we haven't done anybody any harm. That was the civilians. That's the same as us, really. But the Navy were very belligerent about it. They said, if you keep on bombing us, we will kill you all, you know, that sort of thing.
And were you able to tell about the state of the war? I mean, did you know about the state of the war?
Hardly anything. We didn't have a radio. We couldn't get any messages through at all.
So did you know about anything about what was going on?
Hardly anything. Occasionally a rumour would come through, but somebody's heard it on the radios of somewhere in the Japanese quarters, so there was an English spirit would come through and you'd hear something. But we knew very little. We were on a world of our own there, really and truly.
So did you know the Germans had given up? Or?
No, we didn't know that.
Did you learn any Japanese at all?
Oh, yes, I had to learn
that. Tell me, how much... I know you learnt the roll call, but, I mean, did you learn any other Japanese?
Oh, I sort of had to say good morning, arigato, good evening, things like that. But not a lot. Because most of the Japanese civilians who wanted to talk to you would try and speak English because they wanted to learn. I'd say the civilians weren't at all bad. They were quite friendly, really and truly, and they were ashamed of what was happening.
What do you mean? What do they say?
Well, they would say about the Navy, saying the Navy's no good, Kaigun no good sort of business, and they'd shake their heads and sort of, they didn't like the way they were being treated.
What did you think about, you know, the emperor, things like that?
We didn't know anything about him, really. Not a thing.
Now, did you ever see any of the raids going on?
Oh, yes, I saw the planes come over. I didn't recognise them.
What did it look like?
Well, they came over in quite big formations. Oh. About the planes, they were B-29s, which I didn't recognise. I knew B-17s, but B-29s were much bigger and larger and carried a bigger bomb load. So we wondered what they were, but we soon found out they were dropping big bombs over at Nagasaki and other places. And they came over in huge droves. And then a load of other small twin-engine aircraft came over and strafed the place. They strafed our camp, unfortunately.
Now, what do you remember about that? What do you remember of the raid on your camp?
Well, they came over and they were in twin-engine Mitchell bombers, I think they were. And they raided the camp, but they suddenly realised what it was because somebody put a signal outside one of the windows about POW, so they left us alone after that.
Now, in a lot of the prisoners seem to have left the camp in June to go to work in coal mines.
That's
right.
Tell
me about that.
Oh, well, I don't know much about what happened then. I know I lost a few friends. I never saw them again after that. So all right. I don't know what happened. No, it never happened.
Were there many left in the camp, or did most of them leave?
No, most of the Air Force people were still left here, but behind. The others, I don't know what happened to them, I don't really know. They just disappeared from sight, and that was it. We never saw them again.
And they'd gone to the coal mines?
They'd gone to the coal mines, and I don't know where the coal mines were, to be perfectly honest. I didn't think there was any coal in the area.
Now, you seem to have had air raid shelters. What were they like?
What, in the shipyard?
Was it in the shipyard?
Oh, yeah,
right.
Right. Shelters
not
in the camp.
The camp.
Oh,
right.
No, nothing.
Tell me about the shelters in the shipyard.
Well,
what were they like?
Only just an underground sort of a dugout thing that was all covered over with wooden planks at the top. That's all, nothing there.
So nothing?
No, nothing were good. No.
Would it have kept a bomb out?
No way.
Would they put you in them, though, when there was a raid?
Well, normally they told us after the raid had finished, to be perfectly honest.
Now, anything else before the atomic bomb raid?
Not I can think of, no.
Well, tell me as much detail as you can of everything you remember of the... I mean, I know there isn't, in a way, much, but
no.
Tell us what happened during the atomic bomb raid. That was, what date was it? Is that the 9th of August?
9th of August.
Tell me about the raid, then.
Well, we heard the air raid sirens, similar to ours, air raid sirens going off, and we thought another raid, a normal sort of raid, but suddenly we saw this lone plane come across, wondered what he was doing on his own. And it flew round and round in circles over the camp and out of the island, and then two or three, and when it must have dropped the bomb then, because we didn't see it drop, but suddenly there was this huge flash and a terrific roar and a blast of wind, and that the mushroom cloud that you've always seen on television, that appeared, and the plane flew round and round in the top of the mushroom cloud, and it was about half an hour flying round and round in that to find out what had happened. And then it all went quiet, and immediately all the guards came in and said, all back to camp, you all got to go back to camp, nobody stays.
Where
had
you been? You'd been at the dockyard?
We were in the dockyard when that happened, and they wouldn't let us stay there.
Now, was there any blast damage or any damage in? Because you weren't that far away, were you?
No, I think I did explain before. There was a hill between me and where the bomb had dropped.
Can you explain on tape? Because that was off tape.
There was a hill between me and where the bomb had actually dropped, and I think most of the blast went over the head. But people behind me, some of them were killed behind.
How far behind?
About half a mile behind. They weren't any prisoners. They were Japanese, so. They were killed by the bomb.
Did you get much of the heat or the
fire? Oh yes, colossal heat.
What was it like? Okay, I can't imagine it really.
Well, no, I mean, nobody can. And it's hard to describe. You've never seen anything. It'll never happen again, I hope. But you couldn't really describe it, except the fact the mushroom cloud is the thing. You always see that on pictures, don't you?
And it looked just like...
Just like you see it. It goes up and like that, and over the top, shaped like a mushroom. And there was this plane flying around in the middle of it. And we're wondering what it was doing.
In the cloud?
Yeah. The next day, about after that
bomb... Did you know what it was?
No. I was just going to explain that to you. What happened, we asked what happened to one of the civilians, and he could speak a little, and he said it was... an arms factory that had been hit by a bomb and blown up. That's all he knew. He didn't know about it. Nobody knew what it was. And that was the end of that.
So, did they interrogate you at all about it?
No. So we didn't have to work anymore. They took us back to camp and that was a finish. We never went to work again. They stopped that immediately.
And so what were you doing then? That was the 9th. I mean, yeah. It wasn't long to go, was it?
No, we were sitting in there again wondering what had happened. Nobody would tell us what had happened, and we still got the same amount of food. And most of the guards had disappeared. They went away.
So you had no idea what it was
about.
Did you believe the story then? That it was, they'd hit an arms factory?
Yes, I believe that. Yes, too true. I think, what else could it be, you know?
So what happened next then?
Well, we just waited in the camp for something to happen. We got no news from anybody. And when we, in the end, what we call the commanding officer, who was a flight lieutenant in the Air Force, he went down to the guard room and he couldn't find any guards. They'd all disappeared. There was nobody there at all. And what he said was, if you want to, you can come down and take yourself a rifle each out of the guard, just in case something happens, you have to defend yourself, which we did, because we didn't know what happened. But no guards appeared. But then, about 3 days later, a special detachment of Japanese troops arrived, and they weren't allowed to talk to us at all, but they took over watching the perimeter, so you wouldn't walk outside, so they didn't be told not to let anybody out of the camp. And then they disappeared as well.
So had peace been declared at this time? Well, I
wouldn't know.
You wouldn't know. What was happening.
No.
It says they started to give you everything that.
That's right.
Now tell me about that. All this stuff.
So many stuff that appeared from out of the guard room. There was tins of food and even bread, things like that, which we hadn't seen for years, and all that sort of thing. So they had it in stock somewhere.
So what did you get?
Oh, we got slices of bread and corned beef and. Tins of butter and things like that, the things we hadn't seen for years. But they obviously had them in stock, and they wouldn't give them to us.
So what happened then?
Well, we didn't know much else about it until an American Air Force plane came over and dropped a message to say what had happened.
What did the message say?
I can't remember much about it. I remember it saying that war is over. What it actually said was, buddies, the war's over. That's all it said. So... We didn't know much about that, but we best it was over.
Were there any celebrations, the camp?
No. we got some food. And we all sat down and said, well, this is the life of Riley.
Did you know you had to be careful about... I mean, you'd be... How much should you reduce to? What was your weight?
Just under 6 stone.
What was your general state of health? Because 6 stone's not a lot. On the other hand, you're not that big now. You know, do you know
about a 12 stoner normally?
So you'd lost half your weight. Yeah. How did you feel? What was your state of health? Would you say?
Pretty poor, but I could still manage. And I felt better because of what was happening. It made me feel an awful lot better.
So you'd lost weight.
We lost a lot of weight.
You weren't. Nothing else had happened much to you.
No.
And what did you know to be careful when you started eating?
Yes, I think it's somewhere in the notes we had that we were ill. We had stuff that we hadn't been used to, and we all got stomach ache and terrible trouble for quite a while until our system got used to eating decent food again.
So, did you get any supply drops from the Americans?
Yes.
Tell us about them.
They came out and we had on the side of the plane the Air Apache Squadron, and they dropped boxes, but they didn't have parachutes on them.
Wasn't that dangerous?
The next time we came, we had to hide while they dropped the boxes, because there was great big boxes of pieces and things like that landing on top of us. One went right through the roof of the guard room.
Anybody injured? Or?
Oh, yes, a couple of others were hurt badly by flying bits coming out, and tins of peaches coming out of them. But they dropped everything they could. I will say the Americans were wonderful.
Tell us about that.
They did everything they could to help us. They couldn't do any more. They were very, very good.
Were there any Americans actually land and come and join you, or was it still?
Not then. Later on, they did.
So at the moment, it's just the things
Force.
Being dropped.
Yeah. And messages and things like that.
And so, what were you doing during this? I mean. You know, it's quite a while. It's 2 or 3 weeks of this, isn't it?
Just sitting around talking, really, wondering what would have happened. And then we realised the war was over. So, as we'd had that message, we realised we could get on with trying to rebuild our lives right from the start, you know.
So, what happens next, then? There's some more airdrops.
Yes, they dropped some more. Then some Americans arrived at the camp and said they were going to take us away from somewhere. So, yeah, and they would, I don't know what date it was, but they arrived in an aircraft carrier, pulled in. The American fleet turned up, and an American aircraft carrier came into the docks and said you were going to board that and they were taking us somewhere. We didn't know where we were going.
Now, had you visited Nagasaki at this point?
Yes, I had.
Now, when had you done that?
While we were waiting to see what happened.
Tell me about that separately. Tell me about that then.
Well, we knew that there was nobody about. We hadn't seen any guards, so we could walk out. So we walked out and went across on a little ferry thing across to Nagasaki and looked over, could see all the devastation. We realised something terrible had happened. We still didn't know what it was.
What nobody could you see? What state was it in?
Oh, terrible. Absolute rubber. It was, everything was devastated. There was nothing. There wasn't a building standing for miles. Absolutely hopeless. Terrible.
Were you aware? Well, you weren't. Obviously, if you didn't know what. No radiation.
Didn't know anything about that, no. Didn't know a thing about it. Nobody told us. Well, they didn't know, I don't think themselves even.
So,